Hello and welcome to the Reroll Multiple Martial Arts Podcast, where we explore the intersections between martial arts, society, and culture. I'm Elliot.
I'm Dean.
Dude, have you been training lately?
Dude, I have. I've been. Let me just backtrack a little bit and say welcome 2023. I mean, it's been a good while. We haven't been able to touch base. I'm happy to be able to kind of talk to you. It's been a good while. So yeah, we'll start off there. How have you been, man?
Me? Good. You know, always evolving, growing, you know, thinking about, man, so many thoughts, because I haven't talked with you in a while, like, especially, you know, say in a martial arts context, like, so many things. I've been training, trying to be overall a better martial artist overall. You know, it's funny because there was a belt promotion, you know, recently, and I was like, man, I really want to get my blue belt, but I only go to jiu-jitsu class once a week, and because the other two grappling classes I go to are wrestling, so it's mostly, you know, takedowns and things like that. But we do takedown, and then the sparring sessions are jiu-jitsu rounds. You just don't pull guard. And so, you know, I'm like, you know what, I got to be patient. I am a better, well-rounded martial artist than I was before grappling. And you know what, just got to go on the journey, you know, not think about the belt, but think about my overall journey. And I'm just kind of focused on that, you know, because yeah, and of course I want to get better, and yeah, I mean, I want to get ranked, you know, but hey, you know, I got to be patient. how are you?
Let's pause there for a second, because I think this would be a good place to almost like recalibrate, review. I think one of the very first time we talked was it 2 years ago, where we're not doing seasons, but I like to think about it, this is like season three type of thing. We talked about the meaning of the belt, specifically the black belt.
Yes.
Now I'm thinking, why don't we talk a little bit about the meaning of the belt for a second, if you're up for it, because I'd like to ask you that question. I'd like to think about, like, what does that belt mean to you? That blue belt.
Yeah, it's funny. Right when you asked that, I first thought of, you know, Show Your Role has those recordings, and everybody goes, yeah, I'm a three-stripe blue belt. Yeah, I'm a high-rank purple belt. You know, they identify themselves as belt ranking, and it's but anyway, but it almost doesn't matter. You know, like, I remember my coach or professor, you know, he actually was very high ranked as a no-gi competitor and, you know, practitioner before he started doing gi. And so, you know, as a white belt, he's submitting higher belts. So, or, you know, whatever, right? But anyway, for me, what does it mean to me, man? I think it's cool. You know, I want to, yeah, I don't do gi, but I do like that, you know, it kind of marks like a point in my training, where I know I want to have a particular, you know, cluster of knowledge and, you know, things that I can refer to. But I just got to be patient. And you know, I think it is like, what does it mean to me? Yeah, it's kind of cool. It's kind of prestigious. Did you kind of get hung up on, not hung up, but like, how do you feel about belt stuff? You know, when you were going, when you were a beginner getting into intermediate.
You know, so I entered jiu-jitsu after I had done a lot of martial arts, and specifically after I had invested primarily in Shotokan karate and received my dan, which is your black belt. But something happens when you get a black belt in certain arts, like in karate, it's not what you think it is. Like the black belt in karate, it's like maybe like you graduated from high school. And I think there's others that will disagree with me, but you're not, you don't have a PhD if we're trying to like academic context. The first dan, your first rank in black belt, it's usually like, I think, comparable to saying this person went to high school.
Yeah.
Which is a lot to say. I mean, I don't want to underestimate or to undercredit high school. Like, graduating from high school, yeah, it's something good, and you should be proud of that. But so when I did that, people would get really kind of like, not excited, but maybe impressed is the right word. And I'd be like, oh, no. Like, I just know the basics. Meaning, like, I can just, doesn't mean I'm good at them. I have like a GED. Anyway, but in jiu-jitsu, I'm going to say it's not. I'm going to say the black belt is like maybe a master's, maybe a PhD. I mean, you're really well-versed in knowledge. You use the word, the phrase, a particular cluster of knowledge. And I wrote that down because it was golden. It was so good. And I think that's what it is. Like, okay, so when I went to, and I was going up from white belt and I got my blue belt, no, I didn't have any of that because I felt really humbled by the experience. Similar to what you said, like, I'm a blue belt, but these wrestlers kept coming in. I don't know if I told you that story that, like, for a while, all of these white belt wrestlers were coming in and they were just humbling me. Not humbling, it's too big of a word. They were just, like, keeping me honest. Meaning, I remember one time in particular, my teacher goes, hey, help this white belt. And I'm helping them put the gi on and how to tie. And the white belt is like really respectful. And we go through the lesson and then class is over and we start rolling. And then that white belt is like a college, at minimum, a high school wrestler, which is like great. And I'm like a blue belt going, what's going on? Well, that was happening to me on a weekly basis. So that means that, like, that blue belt, as it stood, I didn't have anything really that to like feel that was going to be that meaningful, but it really kept me just saying, well, you can only say that blue belt means you've done this and you know this much, but it doesn't say much when a white belt comes in and like taps you out. But to give it credit though, I think there is something to the effect of, like, for example, would we be equally, or I'm going to say it this way, would things change for you if there was no ranking system in your gym?
Would it change? Not necessarily, because, you know, I started in Muay Thai and Muay Thai doesn't have a formal ranking system. And even though I kind of like these markings or something, even though I like these markings, overall, it doesn't really matter, because, you know, right now I'm doing no-gi jiu-jitsu and there's no formal belt system. I mean, some schools have like, you know, they wear the different color rash guards. And I think that's kind of funny. But no, my gym does not have a different color rash guards. Everybody just wears whatever. And it is kind of nice to compare myself to other people of different, different achievements, right? And and it's kind of cool, you know, because somebody who has, you know, like, oh, 2-3 stripe white belt, and I can either beat them or toe to toe with them, I'm like, okay, I'm at least a 3-stripe white belt. And so I'm like, cool. So I'm like, oh, you know, I really want that blue belt. But at the same time, it's like, you know, I, it depends on the school too. You know, some schools, you know, might be a little bit easier to get a belt, whereas some other school, you know, there was a story where these three blue belts went to Nate Diaz's academy, and then Nate Diaz, you know, told, all right, you three white belts go against these blue belts. His white belts submitted the new blue belt students. And then the story goes, Nate Diaz told the white belts, all right, give the blue belts your belts and you guys get new belts. And then, so, and I'm like, wow, you know, so belts at the end of the day, it might really not mean that much. But I don't know. Do you? Yeah. I mean, and we've been having this conversation, and I think it's interesting because it. I don't know. For me, it's never dull to talk about it. Maybe because it's, you know, from personal experience. But I at the end of the day, I really enjoy training. I sprained my calf right before Christmas. I think I drank a lot of coffee. I was dehydrated and I was pushing hard at wrestling and just happened. It felt like I had a cramp, but I didn't have a cramp. It just felt like an aftermath of a cramp. And so, yeah. I'm back and first week back and feels good doing jiu-jitsu and it feels great. And I just enjoy the process and it's cool to, you know, see new people and think, oh, I was there too. I came in knowing nothing. And you know, I know I'm stating the obvious, you know, the gaining all this, you know, knowledge is so gradual and slow that I feel like I'm in the same position that I was a year ago, but I've grown and that's the beauty of it.
I really like how you place it because there's this part of me that says belts don't matter. In particular to your story, I didn't place much in jiu-jitsu in my jiu-jitsu journey to belt promotions. I did recognize how it felt. It was kind of cool when I got my blue belt. I remember the moment. And again, I had been coming from a karate background where you test formally. And in jiu-jitsu, I don't know if it's everywhere, but most of them, you don't test formally. Mm-hmm. What you do is your training class ends. And at the end of class, the teacher walks up and puts a stripe on your belt or takes off your belt and puts another one, just like that. So you never know when you're going to get promoted.
Wait, so your school is just randomly on a random training day belt promotion?
That's how, yeah. Oh, and okay. And I've been in a lot of jiu-jitsu studios that's what they do. It's just random. The only time that they do it like scheduled, it's for the parents, like for the kids. And it's to tell parents like, hey, don't miss your kid's promotion. Because a lot of parents get upset like, oh, the one day I didn't go, my kid got promoted. So a lot of jiu-jitsu studios will tell the parents like, oh, we're going to do promotions next week. Cool. But they don't say who's going to get promoted. Just, you know. But in most of the adult ones, it's not. It's just like the day of you'll get promoted. You kind of have a sense of when it's going to come, you know, because if you've been there long enough, you realize that like after a year, they should be seeing you, you know. But anyway, so when I got promoted to blue belt, maybe the word promoted actually is even funny because I don't think it really is a promotion. It's just, I feel that it's an assessment of your level of training, your skill set, your cluster of knowledge that you have, that particular set. It works. I like it because it really is an assessment where the instructor says, you know, you've been here a good while. You know how to do these things. And you belong in that group over there. Well, what do we call that group? Oh, we call it the blue belt group. Oh, okay, that's it. You know, but in that way, I'm actually very aware of almost the benefit of that, because I think that when people are assessed, there's a potential, there's a greater potential for them to become self-aware of where they are and get better. So that if I trained and I don't get assessed, I know I can get better. But I'm not sure, especially being a product of this society. I think in another time, I mean, there's rumors that like the old karatekas didn't have, well, that's true. They didn't have belt promotions or ranking because we in karate, in Okinawan karate, I believe they got the ranking from judo. By that time, judo was becoming formalized in Japan and they copied each other. They started getting like the ranking. But originally, I guess the idea was that you just, the black belt was just because you, it was that dirty. You'd been training for so long. It was just darker than the fresh one. That's about it. Right. So I think those stories kind of give us this very romantic vision of a time where you just trained and got better. But I do like the idea of giving value to ranking so that you can have an assessment. I never really, to this day, I don't like it. Only because it doesn't, I'm not, if it motivates you, I think that's cool, but it doesn't motivate me. It actually frustrates me because I don't get to train as much. So that, like, being a two-stripe purple belt, I remember I told you the story that I took off the stripes.
Yeah.
And he told me what he wanted, why he was putting me those stripes back. He's like, because I need you to work harder. Like, you're just, you're just coasting on this idea that I don't have any stripes on. I can kind of be at the end of the line.
Oh, cool, cool. I like that update. Thank you for that update.
Yeah, so it's, but I do find it a little bit frustrating. I don't know if I told you the story once that I went to a different dojo as a purple belt with two stripes, actually. And I went and I paid my mat fee. Oh, no, I didn't pay my mat fee because it was part of the franchise that I was part of at the time. So you could go to them. But turns out when I went with to that place, they were no longer associated with the franchise.
Oh, okay.
But the guy was really cool. He's like, oh, yeah, I get it. People get confused all the time because, like, they still see the old sign here, but I'm not. In fact, he made a joke. He's like, I paid so much for that sign that I just didn't get it. But anyway, at the end of class, I got paired up with a blue belt. And that blue belt just didn't wreck me, but showed me that he was much better. Like, he tapped me over and over and controlled me. And the guy was really cool because he was the teacher was sitting on the floor as we were rolling. And he was maybe like a foot and a half away from me. So he was coaching me. That was really humbling. Like, his blue belt was like controlling me. And he was just kind of like, okay, do this, do that. He was helping me defend myself against his own blue belt. And at the end, I thanked him. I said, thank you very much. I'd like to come back. I never went back, only because of my schedule. But I was like, that's a cool dude. One, he put me with a lower rank. I think it's the Nate Diaz technique. He's like, let me just see how you do with the lower rank. And no, he just was way better than I was.
That's cool.
But that's what it is. Like, so we're not calibrated equally. One school's purple belt is another blue belt.
So you're training right now at a much smaller school.
Yes, I'm training almost like a particular, I guess, a private, semi-private, because my teacher opened up his own school. Then the pandemic hit, and then the school was put on pause, and he's teaching out of his home. And we're, I don't know, maybe 8 students. And most of the time, it's usually like 4 of us at a time because of how, like, I go at night and some people go in the morning. But the last few times, it's just been me and one other person. Another person's a high-ranking brown belt. And there's another one person who's also brown belt, not as high-ranking, but top competitor, amazing. Like, I get tapped so many times. Like, he was really nice at first. I remember, let's say, like, 6 months ago when I started. Like, he was better, but he wasn't showing me how good he was. And then something happened, and he must have said, I'll show you how good I am. And now it's like, I'm not lying. Like, he taps me, like, maybe 8 times in a 6-minute match.
Wow.
And I think he could go more. There's moments when I know he's like, I'll let you work. Do wow. something. And that's no longer frustrating, but there's something to be said about that huge gap. I'm like, oh, I'm nowhere. So my victories are just surviving now. I'm like, okay, I survived.
Wow. Is this gi or no gi?
Both. Like, okay. Like, Mondays are gi, Wednesdays are no gi.
Right on. Wow. What do you think are some pros and cons of going to a small school, semi-private school?
Okay, so the attention, like it, I've grown so much. And I think part of it, I've grown a lot just by the context changing, the curriculum changing. This curriculum is more theme-based, so that we'll go maybe a whole month working on one set of combinations. And I think in others, like in the other schools, that would bore a lot of people, or that would tire them out. They'd be like, oh, we're doing that again. Like, they're always kind of trying to keep a wider group entertained or interested. And here it's such a small group. Sometimes people are bored. They might say like, oh, we've been doing this for so long. But you're like, oh, just keep with it. It's going to change next month, or it's going to change once the cycle goes through. And I think that's a huge advantage. Maybe the disadvantage is that there's not as many people to, for example, where I'm at right now, I think if I was a white belt, it would really suck because it's too much of a gap. If I was a white belt, having to be tapped out by that high level brown belt, it'd be horrible. I would get really discouraged. I probably wouldn't grow as much.
That's interesting. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, no, it's cool. My school is similar, where the head instructor, it's like at least a month of like, oh, different types of single leg takedowns and certain things, and you know, I'm like, okay, cool. Like, and he has a particular curriculum and way he likes to, you know, lead the class, and for me, I think it's great. What's really interesting. So I, you know, last year when I was more beginner, I was training in wrestling with he's an older guy, and he, you know, he seems to always know what he's doing, but he's really helpful. He's really cool. We always paired up because we just vibed. And, and after several months, he, left, but we were still keeping in touch online, and I found out that he was a jiu-jitsu black belt under a very known person. And he was like, yeah, he just wanted, you know, he told my coach that he just wanted to go as a regular student, didn't want to be known as a black belt, and just wanted to learn, you know, wrestling and takedowns and practice that game better. It was just really interesting because he just wanted to be anonymous, a regular dude, but he was a secret killer, you know. And I it was cool. Like, he basically, whenever we rolled, he'd always, it would turn into him like kind of, you know, giving me tips and what to do. And I thought it was really, really great. And I don't know why I'm telling you this story, but you know, it's the belt thing. Like, I'm not knowing what his belt was and realizing later is just a huge shock or surprise.
I think that speaks to, oh, sorry, go ahead.
No, but that also felt, made me feel like really good. Like, oh, of all people, you know, he wanted to train with me, you know, we were like kind of buddies, you know. So it was just really, it's really, 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 really touching. But anyway, go ahead, sorry.
No, I was just thinking about what you were saying at the beginning, you know, like I asked you like what does it mean to you? And I think there's this different thing that, like, I like the idea of belts in the sense that, like, they demonstrate a level of achievement of skills. And then the question would be, like, well, why do I need to show them to you? Why do I, like, for example, I don't walk around with a tag saying I have a PhD.
Oh, so I'm so sorry. Can you repeat that?
No, I was just saying that, like, in a way that belts have value is because they demonstrate like where you are in your skill set. But I wanted to pose a counter question, which says, why do we need that? And I made a comment that, like, for example, on my daily basis, I don't walk around saying that I have a PhD. I don't put it on my paperwork. I do have spaces where they exist, like in my work curriculum, it's there. But I've been in places where people say, I knew you knew you had something. I'm like, why? It's like, because the way you spoke, or because you had such a high sense or understanding of this particular subject. And I was like, why does he know so much about that subject? And then someone later on told them, oh, he teaches anthropology. It's like, oh, no wonder. Anyway, that speaks to what you're saying. Like, I think the belt promotion is similar to that. Like, maybe belt promotions or belt recognition, they have a place. And maybe that we're trying to figure out, where does it have a place? Does it have a place in our specific gym? Maybe they have a place in your gym, or maybe they have a place when you go to another gym. Like, there's a moment that you need to declare your credentials so that I find a good place for you in this society. Maybe.
No. I think so. Because, you know, you talking about that just makes me think of so many different things of, like, you know, there are people who brag about, you know, the degrees or the, you know, certificates that they have. And there are other people who are low key about it. And it's cool because it's kind of like, you know, like, why brag? Like, why talk about your achievements when no one asked? And I think that's very similar with, you know, with martial arts in a way, you know, like, you know, it's kind of like, I like, you know, like, do I want to wear a, you know, jiu-jitsu shirt that says like choke sports or whatever it is? You know, I'm like, no, dude, I'm not going to try to draw attention. You know, I might wear something subtle, but, you know, it's funny. It's really funny. It's like, oh yeah, their whole, some people's personalities, you know, are their identity is just, jiu-jitsu. And it's like, no, it's okay to be like a regular person who trains jiu-jitsu, and just like a regular person who has a PhD. You know, I guess you're not really regular if you're, you know, but anyway, no, but it is true. Like, you know, I find it really cool when there's some really humble people who just want to learn for the sake of learning and sharpening their tools. But it's funny. My school, during belt promotions, there are specific belt promotion days. So my instructor usually has a seminar, and then after the 2-hour seminar will be belt promotion, and then a group picture, which is kind of cool. I like those group pictures. What's up with the whipping belt thing? Because like, my school does not do the belt whips, but other schools do. Does your school do the belt whip?
No, they don't. But this is actually funny that you you posed that question. Earlier, just a minute ago, I said, like, oh, you know, like, my background is in anthropology. Uh-huh. So my biggest, now, one of the things I keep kind of always finding interesting is the way how societies create a system of rules to organize and operate, set of rituals, set of governance, set of arts, language, all these things. And one of the things that I've been really, I'm hoping to actually expand on it sometime this year, is the idea of jiu-jitsu and gym culture as a space, as its own society. And I was using that example in my classes a while back when we were trying to explain what is culture. Anyway, I'll get to it real briefly. That, like, I wrote this, I guess, question, which is like, well, what is the role of belts within this specific society? And I mean the jiu-jitsu world. And I think within the world of jiu-jitsu, the culture of jiu-jitsu, the space of jiu-jitsu, the community of jiu-jitsu, these are the different terms that I use interchangeably, belts are important. And to speak of their importance, they come accompanied with a ritual to mark their importance. Some of these rituals you've identified are the going through a line where everyone hits you with their belt. The anthropology context in me kind of say that's a very consistent thing. Many societies mark transitions with a ritual. Are you going to wear a white dress? And are we all going to come together to say you are no longer a single person? Now you are a married person. Are you supposed to break a glass to mark the change? There's a bunch of different rituals in every major act. And in jiu-jitsu, the belt recognition or the belt promotion transition is marked with something. And a lot of people use this belt whipping. I think my gym didn't use it, but they're usually marked for big ones, like from white to belt, from white to blue, from blue to purple, but not the little ones where you get a stripe. So I didn't get that one, but I did get one that was used. It's where you have to spar with everyone in the gym once you get a belt.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Okay, yeah. So you get your blue belt, Elliot. Your instructor will take off your white belt for you, which is really cool. I think there's a really nice act that your instructor unties your belt and ties the new one on you. Most gyms do that. When I was in karate, I was 13. I'm talking about the first one. The belt was given to you. And back then it was so kind of funny because it had like scotch tape nicely folded. Mm-hmm. And then you would hold it up and you would break the scotch tape. So it would have a beautiful snap, like pop. And then you would tie it. It would resonate in the dojo. It was just beautiful. Anyway, that was also a ritual. Anyway, so the point being is that like we didn't get whipped, but we all knew that once you got your blue belt, your purple belt, your brown belt, even your black belt, you were going to roll with everyone. And the rolling went from like the brand new white belt all the way to the teacher. So you got, depending on how big the class was, you were rolling through 30 people.
That is wild.
It was wild. And it was hilarious because at the very beginning, you're tapping out all the white belts. and then you hit the brown, the blue belt, and you're like, oh, I'm not longer tapping. They're tapping me. And then you hit the purple belt, and you're like, oh, they're just tapping me. And then the brown belt. So you'd get murdered by everyone. and then you just kind of wake, get up, and you're like, hey, all right, congrats, new blue belt. But to the point, I think it's a ritual. It's a mark of a transition.
Dang. So yeah, I'm hoping to transition into the blue belt butterfly soon enough.
And, yeah,
follow in your footsteps to be a good, you know, good jiu-jitsu player.
Yeah, I think there's something about it. I want to say that like I don't necessarily put a lot of value on it personally, but I see why it is important. Specifically, how I just said, like within the world of jiu-jitsu, the society, the community, the space, I think it has value to help us organize ourselves. One of the things you do, for example, higher rank belts are not supposed to be jerks to lower rank belts. Mm-hmm. I told you about my partner that I've trained with. And at one point, it's funny, at one point, long time ago, I want to say that we were the same belt. Because I've been training off and on for so long that he's passed me up. He wrecks me, but in a way that is gentle. Like he doesn't just beat me up. He just taps me out, catch and release. And I say, thank you. I giggle a little bit. And then we go back. But if he was a mean person, mm-hmm. as a purple belt, oh, as a blue, brown belt to a lower, it just looks bad. You're like, oh, that doesn't look right.
Yeah.
maybe the ranking is part of the way things we have rules. Maybe.
Yeah. Well, with that said, this has been the Reroll Multiple Martial Arts Podcast, where we explore the intersections between martial arts, society, and culture. Until next time,
peace.